And so Jazz on the Mind as we meet here for Mosaic on a Wednesday morning, a few days in front of the fall concerts to be given by the two jazz ensembles at Central Michigan University's School of Music, and welcoming in a great friend to Central Michigan University, the School of Music, and here to WCMU, Rob Smith, who will be leading both of the groups in concert this Sunday. Good to have you here.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
The concerts are this Sunday, the 3rd, Staples Family Concert Hall, 2 o'clock for the concert from the ensemble Jazz Central, and then at 5 o'clock for the concert from CMU's Jazz Lab 1. How's the lineup for the young players coming into shape so far this year?
Oh, very good. We have a lot of young people, freshmen, sophomores that are coming in. They keep coming, and then they graduate after they
shame
really
on them.
Yeah, it's the nature of what we do, I guess.
Is the makeup, and it's probably a hard thing to predict whether you, if there's ever cycles that you can kind of look at or see sort of playing out where you're going to have maybe a more veteran group or a younger group, or does it usually end up with pretty much of a blend year to year?
Yeah, it does change. You know, like right now we have two graduate students and, you know, all the way down the ranks and files, but sometimes it is heavier with upperclassmen and a little lighter on the younger students, but I think it's an equal blend right now.
Yeah. So. Do you pick a mix when it comes to the charts and arrangements that if you've got some veteran players, say, in your rhythm section or in any of the horn sections where you might lean towards picking some stuff because you know you've got some more experienced players to solo
definitely.
When it comes to that?
Definitely, so. Yeah. The repertoire really depends on who exactly is in the band and who we want to feature more than others. And, you know, we start off with maybe 30 or 40 arrangements in our folder, and we just kind of pick and choose, save them for the next time because we want to do different songs after this concert is mm-hmm. over. So
the Jazz Central group plays at 2 o'clock, Staples Family Recital Hall this Sunday, the 3rd, music.cmish.edu. For all of the information, Rob Smith, the professor of jazz studies here at CMU School of Music, doing that. I see Sonny Rollins, Thelonious Monk, Thad Jones, also Cole Porter, Sammy Nestico, and Paul Desmond all on the lineup. Some familiar names with Rollins, Monk, Thad Jones, well, all really on this particular thing, and a great arrangement here, too, of Sweet Georgia Brown right in the middle. Talk a little bit about the Rollins and the Monk pieces that you got leading off this.
Well, yeah, of course you can't go wrong with the Sonny Rollins tune, right? I mean, one of the greatest voices in jazz, who's still alive and still out there playing. Well, I guess he's retired now, but he's in his 90s, so we can let him do that, I think, at this point. But he certainly set up, you know, the future of jazz with his playing in the 50s and throughout the last 60 years, at least. But St. Thomas is one of his most classic compositions, and this one has a little modern twist to it. It starts off in a 6-4 groove with an ostinato bass figure, and then gradually the horns come in, and it's a very interesting chart, but then when it gets to the heart of the melody, it goes to a straight 4 feel like the original.
The arrangement by Michael Philip Mossman, who I remember we've got some Blue Note dates from the mid-80s, and of course right now off the tip of my tongue, I'm going to forget the name, Out of the Blue.
Out of the Blue,
there we go.
That's right, yeah.
Thank goodness that my memory didn't totally fail me in that moment. Has he done a lot of arrangements and things in terms of, you know, working that into his career as he's moved forward too?
Yeah, and we play quite a few of them because they're always really good arrangements that he's done on classic jazz compositions from the masters. And he still is an active jazz trumpet performer in New York City. And I know he makes a large part of his income by writing, so.
And Monk's Round Midnight, another classic that you've got, and also Thad Jones' Big Dipper that'll be following in that early part of the show, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can't go wrong with Thad Jones or Thelonious Monk. Again, you know, the classic sound. And, of course, we always like to pay tribute with Thad Jones with all of the bands because he's a Michigan native. So you know, go Pontiac, Michigan.
Absolutely, one of the great Jones brothers. And that, I would think that if you're looking for, I mean, yeah, that band goes back a long way, but that bridge between the classic swing bands of a Basie or an Ellington, Woody Herman's band, and so forth, but a whole different sound that got ushered in with that Mel Lewis, Thad Jones group.
Yeah,
that
definitely. Yeah, it's kind of, it's he took everything from like Ellington's way of composing and arranging for specific people and he set it to his own style, which was a more modern bebop approach to jazz. And
who best kind of do you think, or a couple examples that has picked up that mantle from him, from that Jones and Mel Lewis band? Since, I mean, they go back, you know, as 50 years ago when they really came on into their own, and now they're both past, although the Monday Night Vanguard Orchestra still plays. Mm-hmm. But who has sort of, would you point to if there is a big band that is kind of now what you would see as the trendsetter that's picked up that mantle and is really leading and pushing the music forward? Is there one or two that stand out to you?
Well, you know, there are. There's the New York bands, like John Fedchuk, for instance. I mean, he's modeled his big band after the Monday Night Thad Jones Mel Lewis band. And even his writing, I believe, is really, you know, indicative of the Thad Jones style of voicing, very thick, heavy voicings with lots of alterations on the chords, and it makes for, you know, more modern sound. But I think the John Fedchuk New York Big Band is one of the best examples. There's also Maria Schneider. Pretty much anyone who writes for their own big band now, you know, shows evidence of all the great jazz composers
taking it and pushing it to the next level. And Fedchuk, a work of his, is on the concert that we'll talk about a little bit more about in a while from Jazz Lab One. They perform, Lab does, at 5 o'clock this Sunday, and Jazz Central at 2 o'clock, both at the Staples Family Recital Hall, Central Michigan University School of Music. Those concerts free and open to the public, and music.cmich.edu is on the program. A standard here from Cole Porter, and a classic from Paul Desmond. We always, you know, you think Brubeck, but Desmond wrote the tune Take Five and a couple of more of the real standards and backbones in the repertoire. Take Five, though, I mean, we think of it in that classic quartet setting. How often does it get done with a big band?
Not very often. This is the first arrangement for big band that I've ever found. I actually was seeking it out. I didn't know about this particular arrangement, but I found it and bought it because I just wanted to feature this tune. Everybody likes this tune still, you know. It's still one of the more popular jazz songs that we have out there that almost everyone can relate to. You know, when they hear that melody, they just kind of know Take Five.
But not one, as you say, that's common to the big bands.
Right.
I wonder with these groups too. I mean, when we talk about standards that go back as far as Love for Sale by Porter that you're doing on the 2 o'clock show, or a Sweet Georgia Brown, those standards that came out of that classic big band time, all the way up through the tunes like a Rollins and a Monk and the things that are being done today. But for instance, we just got in a big band record not too long ago with a vocalist out of Los Angeles, and they're doing an arrangement of a tune by The Doors and also one from the band Chicago. So when we talk standard anymore, what is considered standard from, you know, modern day, you know, real contemporary pop music that's being done? How much of that are you seeing that's translating into big band arrangements that you can seek out?
Oh, more and more. I mean, you can really set any tune to jazz. Any song can become a big band tune, and just by, you know, changing the harmony a little bit and, you know, writing for the correct instrumentation. I've seen Led Zeppelin songs now arranged for big bands and performed by jazz musicians that that are actually really good. And it's a cool thing, I think. Stevie Wonder is a great example.
Right,
his tunes are kind of jazzy to begin with, but they're not jazz. But a lot of people now are taking his music and applying it.
Easier to make that jump sometimes.
Probably,
yeah, with something like that. So. Led Zeppelin for big band.
Yeah.
Jazz Central plays at 2 o'clock, music.cmich.edu. Professor Rob Smith, professor of jazz studies here at Central Michigan University, leading that group, and also Jazz Lab 1 in a concert that starts at 5 o'clock this Sunday, also in the Staples Family Recital Hall. And here, I see Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer, Come Rain, Come Shine. Mm-hmm. Great standard tune there. Another Rollins tune and another Monk tune. But we're also mixing in Randy Brecker, Clifford Brown, and starting off with bebop.com. So that's got to be something fairly new, as .coms have been around a while, but not that long. Now, they don't go back as far as Cole Porter or Irving Berlin.
No, definitely not. That's definitely a more modern twist on it's based on a classic rhythm changes chord progression from the tune I've Got Rhythm. So it kind of does go back that far, back to the Gershwin brothers. But this one is a more modern composition, I believe from the 90s, by Jim Martin, who's a fantastic trombone player and jazz composer and arranger.
So that it must have survived the .com bubble and burst, I guess, if the tune is still around.
Yeah,
so.
I think it was when it was a new phrase, .com.
The arranger, Bill Stapleton, may not be as familiar a name. Where does he come from, and how does he lend his touches to the Arlen and Mercer piece, Come Rain, Come Shine?
This one he wrote specifically for the Woody Herman Orchestra.
All right.
And that's how I became familiar with this same arrangement. In fact, it's exactly the same arrangement written in pencil, not on a computer program. So I like to challenge the students by making them read handwritten music every now and then. It's a little different.
A little bit foreign. It's not quite .com-ish for them.
Exactly.
For them in that regard.
But it's a beautiful arrangement of this tune for the Woody Herman Orchestra.
How timeless is a guy like Clifford Brown, who had such immense talent but died at such a young age? I know that obviously you're able to bring a familiarity with somebody like that to the younger players, but are they curious to find some of these names? And you would hate to think that Clifford Brown would be forgotten because he was such a great player, but because he died so young, is he a little bit harder for some of the young kids to discover when it comes to, you know, listening to recordings, forming their own voice, and things like that?
Well, as far as aspiring young jazz musicians, it's not fading. Clifford Brown is still like one of the mainstays of learning how to perform the art form of jazz on the trumpet. And he's like a school all in itself, right? Mm-hmm. And with, you know, modern technology, with like YouTube, you can see so many things and get so many different recordings at the touch of your device, right? So it's, in that regard, he's still going strong. I mean, he's at the top of the game. Now, other, you know, portions of the population, of course, have no idea who Clifford Brown was.
Right. But one of his most famous pieces that you'll be doing, and Martin Williams then, common arranger, somebody that you've played his arrangements or
actually,
original stuff before? Or is this
not.
New?
I really don't know who Martin Williams is. We got this arrangement via Bobby Shue when he was here. This is the arrangement that Bobby Shue left, one of the arrangements that he left when he performed here a few years ago. But it's a great arrangement, and I know he's done several arrangements for specific people like Bobby Shue.
Gets us to the middle part of the program from Jazz Lab 1, coming up this Sunday at the Staples Family Recital Hall, with works by Matt Harris, John Fedchak, whom you mentioned earlier in leading his band, and another Thad Jones piece. Talk about this middle section of the show coming up.
Yeah, Jaybirds. This is an original composition, again, based on the B-flat rhythm changes, so it's connected to I Got Rhythm, the Gershwins. They started a real craze with that tune, let me tell you. But, I mean, Charlie Parker wrote at least 18 different melodies on the rhythm changes, so it started back then and has continued. But Jay Birds is actually John Fedchuk, being a trombonist himself, dedicated this to J.J. Johnson. So it's a melody that that John himself conceived, but in the style of J.J. Johnson.
Very cool. And it features
two trombonists.
Yeah. And kids are pretty people. This one doesn't is not as maybe as familiar of the Thad Jones charts. Is this one that you've played before, had much experience with, or is this kind of a new one to the young people that you're bringing out this year?
It's one of Thad's classics, but you're right. It hasn't been played much, and I think it's probably largely due just to the unusual groove. It's more of a really kind of a slow swing groove, and it's difficult to perform because everybody wants to speed it up or slow it down, one or the other. It's hard to keep it right in the, you really got to, you know, be focused on this one. So it's great for the students to play this one, and it's a beautiful tune, really great. Of course, it's Thad Jones, right?
Once again, yeah, can't go wrong.
Never heard a bad one.
Yeah, that's right. No duds when it comes to the Thad Jones book. Rollins and Monk make an appearance again on the back half of the concert from Jazz Lab 1, and so to play them with both ensembles, are these pieces that you've done a lot with the groups, or ones that you think kind of complement each other? How did a couple of tunes from each? Erigen and Epistrophe.
Erigen.
Yeah.
Nigeria backwards.
Right, yeah.
Right? That's how I always say it, because you say Erigen, everybody looks at you strange, like, what? So you say Nigeria backwards.
Then the question is, why did he want to do it? Well, why not? I mean, you know.
It's one of Sonny Rollins' more difficult pieces to play. It's got to be played very fast, and of course it's a technical nightmare to pull together, but once you got it, it's really a great tune. And it's based on a minor blues kind of feel, but it goes through, you know, many different keys. It's a difficult tune to negotiate both the melody and improvising, and it's played at lightning speed. So the kids love it. You know, it's fun. They're always willing to stand up to the challenge, and I think they're doing a great job of it. So
faster the better for them.
Yeah, right.
Like that. Yeah, and just show off the chops.
Yeah,
and so
as long as they don't sacrifice everything else.
Don't want to gloss over too many notes as you're going too fast. So a tune from Randy Brecker and the Brecker Brothers, another group that 70s band that, again, with the passing of one of them and them no longer being active as an ensemble, but really kind of a groundbreaking group that bridged jazz, fusion, and a lot of things. Have they held up? Test of time when it comes to kids kind of looking back and discovering.
I mean, for jazz students, you have to buy the Randy Brecker transcription book, and you have to buy the Michael Brecker transcription book, because they're both, you know, they both played so many great classic solos. So in order to learn that style, you really have to study that. And so as time progresses, there's more and more that, you know, students are responsible for in this day and age.
Is that stuff that you recommend, require, strongly encourage them?
I mean, our students are so busy here that it's hard to require that for a jazz band class, you know.
But if you talk about a transcription book, would those be among the better ones? Are there others out there that are kind of like, hey, if you really want to be a player, you should, you know, get a hold of this as a good foundation of where to start or where to start?
Yeah, I think on all instruments in jazz, there's probably a handful, maybe five or six, that are must-haves.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's many others that, okay, well, if you want to go beyond the call of duty, then you can delve into the other stuff too. Or if some artist in particular grabs your fancy and you want to emulate that person, then you would.
But both Randy and Michael, definitely, you would put at the...
Oh, yeah, they're in the handful,
The must-haves. So.
Yep, along with Miles Davis and Clifford Brown and John Coltrane and Sonny Rollins.
Just some guys, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Jazz Lab 1 plays then the work of Jim Martin, Harold Arlen, and Johnny Mercer, Clifford Brown, Matt Harris, John Fedchuk, Thad Jones, Sonny Rollins, Randy Brecker, and Thelonious Monk on their show. That starts at 5 o'clock. Jazz Central gives their concert at 2 o'clock, including works of Rollins and Monk, and also Thad Jones, Cole Porter, Sammy Nestico, and Paul Desmond. Rob Smith, who is a professor of jazz studies, leads both of those groups, and they are both in concert this Sunday, the 3rd, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, respectively, music.cmish.edu for all of the information. And then things progressing ahead, we're certainly going to do some more stuff as it draws closer, but to the annual Jazz Weekend coming up in February.
Yeah, it's exciting.
We got a signed contract. We're all good to go. And do we have a signed contract with Mother Nature this year?
That's the big question.
Have you at least been in consultation with after some of the episodes and so forth? But drummer Terry Lynn Carrington is coming. Just at least to talk for a couple of moments. How much? In your travels and having a chance to play, how many times maybe have you either seen her, had the chance to work with her, or work with people that she's come in contact with? How have the paths crossed when it comes to her work?
I've actually worked with her I met her in 2005, and a couple of years later, she called me to go on the road we did 7 concerts at Carnegie Hall and the Kennedy Center. It was amazing.
Hmm.
With some of the greatest vocalists, including Nancy Wilson and Diane Reeves, it was quite the project.
Mm.
And then I brought her here, I believe, in 2008 as our guest artist for Jazz Weekend, and it's already been 11 years ago.
Yeah, does she do a lot of that work then? I mean, is that something that she has kind of over time built in to do a lot of the guest artist weekend and you know, masterclass kind of work and stuff like
that? Yeah, and she's an educator herself. She's on the faculty at Berklee School of Music, and so she's that's part of her gig. Yeah, when she can do educational things, she prefers to do that rather than club dates, you know. But you got to get her a year in advance because her calendar fills up real quick, you know.
Well, continue working with Mother Nature. See what you
can do. That's the deal.
Early February, that'll be coming in 2020, and we'll get you back, and hopefully have a chance to talk with Terry Lynn as it draws closer too. But the both ensembles playing as they will as part of Jazz Weekend, but giving their fall concerts this Sunday, November the 3rd, at the Staples Family Recital Hall, Jazz Central at 2, Jazz Lab 1 at 5, music.cmish.edu for all of the information. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here today. Have a great concert coming up. A couple more rehearsals before the hit on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you, David. It's a pleasure.
Good to have you here. And those concerts will be coming up this weekend at the CMU School of Music.